Hello. Welcome to the program. My name is Ron Van Dam, and today I take you on a journey of your mind and your soul, which each breath that you take, another one follows. Today, without question, there seems to be more relaxation than there is not. For this reason alone, I say unto you, welcome. I outstretch my arms to you, like some type of outstretching arm maker. Feel my bosom. Relax within my body. Rejoice and be comforted. With each piece, each time of peace, another moment passes by. Like the sands through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives. It is not a question of peace, or war, or love, or hatred. It is a question of balance. And that is why, without a question, there can be no answer. The answer lies within your soul, within your heart. So I say unto you, without question of balance, how much do you know about something, and how little do you know about nothing? Come with me on this journey today, as I expose myself in so many different ways, and I expect you to do the same in an awkward, ridiculous manner. Today, on the Ron Van Dam Show, come along, if you dare.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Yes, I do like that sort of thing.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, young Julie, for that marvelous introduction. It precedes me. Since you talked first, it definitely preceded me. Well, would you believe that I'm not really British at all? I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm really from Biloxi, Mississippi, where I was born to a sharecropper's son in a manger with wolves, three wise men, a Jew, and a rabbi walk into a bar. I don't know the rest of the joke, but I'm sure, in retrospect, it's quite humorous. I don't know. There's that damn music again, which means it's time for me to expose myself as a charlatan, the true charlatan that I am. For you see, I am not British at all. I'm not even Jewish. I am who I am because I am who I am. I've tried to be other people before, but it got me nowhere. The only place it got me was nowhere. And nowhere is a very dark place, where there's no lights whatsoever, and all the batteries in the flashlights don't work anymore. So I try to go nowhere. There is a period of time in our society that had much darkness to it. I believe it was called the Dark Ages for that very reason. It was very dark. Unless you lit a torch, then it was a little less dark, but it was still pretty dark. And the Dark Ages were full of dark people. They were dark. You'd say, "Hi, how are you today?" And they'd say, "I'm going to kill myself right now." That's very dark. You don't want to be around dark people. You can't even see them sometimes. So I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, with empathy, sympathy, and all those things, that you are important. You have self-worth. Nobody is smarter than you are. Nobody is stupider than you are, really. Actually, that's more accurate. In the days to come, there will be many more days. There'll be many nights, at which time it will be dark. And all you need do is turn the lights on, and you will find a path of glory before you. Opportunities will open up. Doors will open. Toilets will flush. Refrigerators will be full of food. And there, you'll find a plethora of vegetables and fine meats, stored perfectly, so that someday you can retrieve those items and cook a fabulous meal. A meal of the mind. A meal that feeds you more than for your tummy, but for your cerebellum. Yes, your cerebellum. You know her, cerebellum. I dated her in high school. We called her Sarah or Miss Bellum. She was very, very well off. Her parents owned 3 boats, 2 yachts, and a cabin cruiser, which I think added up to 16 boats. I was never good at math. It was not my strong point. Why? Sarah told me one thing when we were dating. "Keep your hands off me, or I'll call the cops." She said other things that were equally as important to me, such as, "What time is this date going to be over? I can't stand you anymore." And that hit home. It hit deep within. Was I not worth anything to Sarah or to the rest of the world? Of course I had self-worth, but I had to find it. So I set off on a journey to find myself. I looked everywhere. I wasn't behind the couch. I wasn't in the closet. Where was I? Where did I find myself ultimately? In front of that refrigerator, looking for the very foods that would nourish me for the rest of my life. And here I sit today before you, a humble man, a man of many faces, depending on how many photographs I have taken with that little stupid app that puts little bunny ears on your face and elongates your nose. I don't know the name of it, but I find it quite intriguing. No, I don't watch television anymore. I absorb it. So, in closing, that's the end. My God, it's not the end. They're still playing the music. Because a journey never really ends. It begins and never ends. The day the journey ends is the day you must start a new one. And I have found my journey in you. Well, this is the Ron Van Dam Show, and you can hear me every weekday, afternoon, morning, evening, whatever. Right here, right here, right here. at newenglandbroadcasting.com or newenglandtalkradio.com or on the Podbean network, Podbean, or on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, SoundCloud, and your Amazon Alexa app, and all your mobile devices. I also tend to be everywhere, so there's no excuse. You can visit our Facebook page, our Twitters, as I twat constantly. Also have a blog, blimey, I have a blog. And you'll find it all on newenglandbroadcasting.com, where there are other talk show hosts as well. Not half as entertaining as myself, but nonetheless unique in their own rights. Yes. You'll hear about women's issues, issues that aren't for women. You'll hear about pets and how to properly raise and take care of your dogs and your cats and your hamsters, whatever the case may be. You'll find an interesting show about a young lady that opens her mind to the world. And you'll hear from a psychologist, psychiatrist, who talks about life itself and how to get through it from a professional point of view. And then there's me, Ron Van Dam, who you might say, how long can he put on this phony British accent? Will he do this through the entire show? Because it's getting rather old at this point. Although, it is fascinating in a sense to see the breakdown of an individual by becoming something that he isn't. That is intriguing in itself, but not to any great extent beyond the fact that he just said that. So, I sit in your lap, I move around a little bit, that'll be $20, and I will entertain you in some bizarre, odd manner, because that's what I do, and I do it well. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Have you ever wondered how Ron Van Dam manages to sound so damn sexy podcast after podcast after podcast? It's simple. No pants. Ever. Pants are for suckers. You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. Pants-free podcasting at its finest.
Would you believe I'm not really British? This is my real voice now. Oh. I'm kidding. It's not my real voice. Anyway, coming up a little bit later in the show, we'll be speaking to people. We do interviews on this program toward the end of the show. They're fascinating people, full of information and wisdom, and I pass it on to you. Sometimes they're entertaining, sometimes they're just simply fascinating. Today is one of those days, obviously. So, we will do so. First, a short commercial break, because we do have sponsors, and the sponsors do pay for this. You certainly don't, you cheap bastard. You cheap bastard! So we do need commercials, and one of them is my friend. My friend has a beer company.
When you reach for a beer, what are you looking for? The finest malts, grains, and hops? An artisan ale that represents a modern take on traditional brewing techniques that master brewers have refined and treasured for years? A true beer drinking experience. Or like most of us, are you just looking to get f***ed up on the cheap? Well, if you're like the rest of us, congratulations, your beer is here. It's Fockenhalter. It's not a great beer. It's not even a good beer. It's a beer that's $4 a case, and it's strong enough to melt the chrome off a trailer hitch. So kiss your liver goodbye and say hello to Fockenhalter. It's beer.
Yes, it is, and it's wonderful beer, too. I'm hopped up on a keg of it right now. Ladies and gentlemen, how are you doing? You know, yesterday I was feeling a little bit under the weather. The weather was on top of me. And I felt fluish. I felt a little fluish. I felt like perhaps the flu is embarking upon me. The flu is embarking upon my body. And I felt a little chill, and I felt a little feverish.
But I didn't want to go to the doctor, to the OR, the CR, the DR, the doctor, nor to the urgent care, because I didn't feel it was that urgent to care for me. So I was driving by a CVS. I don't know what it stands for, but it's got three letters in it, and I know it's carpeted inside, and it has a lot of drugs in it, and pharmaceutical items, and beauty items as well, and vitamins, and odd little items like that, candy, and greeting cards, and various feminine products. So on the wall of the building, it said 1 minute clinic. And I thought, oh, I've got a minute. I'll go in there and have them assess my situation. Perhaps I need an antibiotic or something like that. Or perhaps they can advise me of something over the counter, something that's hovering above the counter at this time that I could ingest into my body to help solve this malady that seems to be protruding my body at any given time. So I walked into the place and I went up to the counter, under the counter, and there was a little man standing behind it wearing a CVS shirt. They all dressed the same, like they all employed there or something. And I said, "Where's your minute clinic?" And he said, "It's over there in the corner." I said, "Thank you very much." And I walked over, and there was nobody there, except for 10 people coughing like crazy, like they had just ingested an entire carton of cigarettes. Some of them looked like their pimples were oozing. It was not a pretty sight. Then somebody emerged from a little office and said, "Yes, may I help you?" And I said, "I don't know. I'm feeling a bit feverish. I'm come here for the minute clinic." And he said to me, "Okay, please go over to that computer screen, type in your name and information." I said, "Well, how long will the wait be? Will it be half a minute, perhaps three quarters of a minute, or the entire minute?" And he said, "It'll be approximately an hour and a half." I said, "That's a lot of minutes. That's 90 minutes. On the side of your building, it says minute clinic." He said, "Yes, it doesn't say 1 minute clinic. It says minute clinic." I said, "Oh, I believed when I saw that the phrase minute referred to a singular minute, not minutes clinic." And he said, "Well, they couldn't afford to put the S at the end of the word, I suppose, but it is an aggregate of the minute concept. I said, "Look, I said, it's not a minute, it's a number of minutes. That's like calling yourself the dollar store, but some items in the dollar store are $500. They said, "Well, legally, that's true. And that's acceptable because we said that the currency is in the form of dollars. It's the same here. The time is in the form of minutes. We're not saying how many minutes it is until you get into the clinic. We're saying that minutes are involved in the clinic, and you have 90 of them." I said, "But what am I supposed to do for 90 minutes? He said, "I don't know." He said, "Go see a movie or something, or go drive around the neighborhood aimlessly. But I don't really care what you do. Perhaps you want to shop the aisles of our stalls and pick up some perfume for your lovely missus." I said, "That's an assumption that you're making. First of all, that I have a missus, and secondly, that she would be lovely. That's not the case in either sense. And I demand that I be seen within the minute." Well, it got a little bit, how can I put it, intense. And I ended up leaving the building while other people were touching my elbows in a forward motion toward the door. I shall never go back to the minute clinic because I believe it's false advertising. Nothing takes place in a minute there. And if I were to interview the many people that were waiting to be seen by the minute clinic in those silly little plastic chairs, I would assume that most of them were growing sicker by the moment by sitting in a confined area with other people that were vapidly sick. Vapidly sick. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not putting down the CVS minute clinic. I'm just saying if you're going to do it, then do it right. Don't make believe that you're in and out, that you're popping in for a minute to be assessed, because it's not the case. I've waited shorter periods of time for other things that are far less meaningful in my life. CVS, you have deceived me in so many ways. My disappointment is quite obvious. But yet, I move on. As it turned out, I felt better later on in the day, having blown off steam, and I am now absolutely fine. But for a while, it was touch and go. I touched things, and then I went. Let's speak to our guest for today. She's an actress, quite a wonderful person. I am going to drop the British accent while I do the interview. Otherwise, they're going to think I'm freaking crazy. That's okay for you to think, but for these people that I interview, it's probably not a great idea. So we're going to take a short little commercial time, and when we return, we will have conversation with the guest for today. So I hope that you stay around for this fine interview that I'm about to do.
Are you aware that one in every seven Americans is in desperate need of a dope slap? Studies show that every 17 seconds in America, someone writes, says, or does something so incredibly stupid that they deserve to be slapped, and you can help. If someone you know commits an act of boneheaded stupidity, simply extend your hand with the palm facing to the side, draw your arm back, and deliver a sharp, solid blow straight across their forehead. It's called a dope slap. It only takes a moment to perform, but the lesson can last a lifetime. This has been a message from the American Dope Slap Association and Metro South Podcasting.
Oh, hi.
Hi, Adriana. How are you?
I'm great. How are you this morning?
I'm doing good so far. So that's a good thing. Adriana Mather joins us now. She is an actress, producer, and New York Times bestselling author. And she's got another one out. That didn't sound right, did it? She's got another one out. That didn't sound good. It's Haunting the Deep, which is a novel, but it's based on something a little deeper than fiction, isn't it?
It is. My ancestors survived the Titanic.
Oh, my God. Okay. And so you took the situation and you introduced characters into it. Is that what happened?
I did. I actually was in my grandmother's house, and I found a letter in a manila envelope, and it just said Titanic on the outside of it. And I thought, oh, maybe these are some old newspaper clippings or something. Oh. And when I went inside, there was a letter, and it was an account of how my relatives had survived. And so I thought, I see a mystery here, and that's how it all started.
So you didn't even know that there was a connection previously?
I didn't. I didn't know until a couple of years ago.
Oh, my goodness. That's more fun than doing one of those ancestry things where you find out and, you know, they write back to you. You actually found letters in the house. That's kind of, wow.
Yeah. It, you know, I know a lot about my ancestry, probably too much.
Oh, okay.
My ancestors came over on the Mayflower.
Oh,
we fought in the Revolutionary War. We started the Salem Witch Trials.
We
lived in Sleepy Hollow. I know a ton, but this was one that I did not know, and it was a very interesting surprise.
Oh, your life could be like a series of books, and apparently they are.
I'm trying to make it that way.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, but not in a direct manner, in a circuitous manner. It's kind of industry.
Yes.
So these characters, were these characters pre-developed or were they new for this particular scenario?
The characters were pre-developed, and my protagonist sees ghosts.
Uh-huh.
So in the beginning of this story, she sees a ghost from a little girl from the Titanic,
yes.
And so the mystery unfolds.
Yes. I have the book in front of me. The cover is something that I don't want to read in a dark house by myself. It's kind of,
The funny thing is I'm scared of everything. I mean, the list just goes on and on. It's really, if I told you some of them, you would never look at me the same way. But somehow I write spooky autumnal stories, so go figure that one out. I cannot.
Well, maybe that's the way that you deal with that, by releasing it onto paper.
Potentially, yeah.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah, okay. I was always the nightlight kid, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think
still am.
A lot of us are, but we don't admit it, so that's fine. So are you exclusively writing now, or are you still doing all the other stuff that you usually do?
Oh, I just produced a feature in May.
Oh.
I still do other things, but the majority of my time is writing. It actually takes a long time to revise a book. The writing isn't so long, but the revision is very long.
I've heard. Yeah, it's like the book writes itself, and then you sit down and you review it, and then you start doing stuff to it. Is that good or bad that you manipulate what came out so forcefully onto the paper to begin with?
Oh, it's necessary.
Yeah, okay.
It's really necessary. But you go through an entire arc of emotions with a book, because you start out thinking, you're just writing and you think this is the best thing ever. And then it just cycles. It's like, then it's the worst story, then it's the most frustrating story, then it's the best again when you have another idea. And it just goes on like this for about a year.
Wow. Now, you also wrote How to Hang a Witch. Which was quite popular. And there again, as you alluded to earlier, that also was a connection to something that it was in the history of your family.
Right. So my name is Adriana Mather, and I don't know if you know Cotton Mather.
Yes, of course.
But he instigated the Salem witch trial.
I didn't make the connection.
He's also buried in your city. So that's nice. My relatives are are there.
Well, they're not buried in my city. Now you're freaking me out. Yeah. that's too weird. Okay.
Yeah. I didn't realize quite how strong the history in Salem was until I actually visited. And when people heard my last name, they were like, oh. And so once I heard that reaction, I thought, what's going on here? And that's what actually
Isn't
started
that interesting?
First.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeesh, you have an interesting life. I don't know how you have a moment to breathe, to be honest with you. But
I don't know either.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll breathe in 5 years.
Right. You got time for that later.
Yeah, that's later.
Save them up. Okay. So give me some ways to find out what's going on here. The book is called Haunting the Deep. That's available everywhere at this point.
It is. It's available everywhere. Barnes & Noble, Target, Walmart, IndieBound, if you want to find for your local independent store. Okay. And I have all the social media, so people can always follow me to find out what's going on.
Okay. And how do they do that? How do they follow you?
Adriana Mather, pretty much on all my social media platforms. So, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook.
There you go. Who knows, you'll probably be building cars by the end of the month. I don't know. It's like,
but then no one should drive them. If I build one, no one should drive it.
So if you build it, they should not come. As far as cars are concerned.
Indeed.
Yeah, the books and the movies and things, you do that.
Yeah, that's okay. Fine.
That's it. Adriana, it's a pleasure speaking to you, and congratulations
on
the
lovely book.
Cool.
Oh, thanks so much, Ron. Lovely to talk to you.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
She is adorable, isn't she? Don't you just want to hug her and say, you are adorable. You should be manufactured into little dolls and sold amongst the public, amongst all of us, because you are adorable. Her book is Haunting the Deep, which is a haunting title. And there you have it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, my time with you is up for today. Me doing this this accent has become gracefully annoying for everybody, and I swear I shall never do it again until I do. But until then, Ron will be back with his regular American show tomorrow. But as far as I am concerned, I certainly wish you peace. Cheerio, Shredded Wheat, Sugar Frosted Flakes.